27th, 2011. Can you believe it? I want to ask you something before I get going. Have you ever heard the saying, to thine own self be true? To thine own self be true? You know what that means? That means you don't just go along with the crowd. You don't go with the flow. You fight the current. You put yourself in opposition to other people. You believe that fighting for what you want is better than defeat. And you know how everybody in social media is always talking about authenticity? Well, that's what an authentic person is, a fighter. They don't do what you want. They don't go down easy. The authentic person, he's not a Dr. Jekyll, he's a Mr. Hyde. Now, some of my guests have told me that the first time they come on this show, everything is moving so fast and the conversation is coming at them from so many directions that their head starts spinning. That's what they say, and they ask themselves, where am I? Am I in another dimension? And the answer is, you have entered a place where the internet is a battleground, and everyone is the enemy. And the harder you fight, the deeper. And Jerry! What show is this?
The Recruiting Animal Show!
Thank you, Jerry!
No problem, no problem, Animal.
Recruiter,
it's what I do, it's what I do.
What you
I
do.
Live.
Always
I live
on
for
time.
This day.
I can always count on you, Jerry. Thank you.
You're
number one. You're number one.
Ichiban. Ichiban.
Yeah. Recruiter Mo.
Hey guys.
You here.
How are you?
Recruiter Mo.
You.
Hey, are you here?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, okay. Say, it's Recruiter Mo. I can't see your face. Recruiter Mo reporting for duty.
Recruiter Mo reporting for duty. What's going on?
Okay, good. Hold on a second, Mo, okay?
Yeah, sure.
Maureen is your little hobo pal here today. Well, Maureen's not even here herself. Where is Nate?
I'm here. Nate, are you here?
Oh, jeez.
Is Nate here? He's going to call
okay.
in. He sent me
yeah,
a Twitter.
Maureen's
DM got
a friend. I'll do his part, okay, Maureen? Maureen's
he said he's
going
to try to call in.
Yeah, he's too late. He's a little hobo. He's walking across America to discover himself, and he wants she's bugging him to call in here every week to tell us what wisdom, you know, this innocent young guy has discovered on the road. Well, I'm going to tell you what Nate told me. Here's his message, okay? Hi, everybody. My name is Nate. I'm walking across America, and here's what I've learned on the road this week. The internet is great, but sometimes you can't find the people you need on Jigsaw. Sometimes you can't find the people you need on LinkedIn. I think Boolean strings are great, but sometimes you need a telephone sorcerer, and that's the time you want to consider Maureen Sherrup. She's the tiger mom of telephone sourcing. She'll take your target's phone bank and rip it to shreds. You can find her at namesourcer.com. Namesourcer.com. Thank you, Nate! Okay, Mo, back to you. Are you still with us?
I'm still with you.
Okay, it's singing time, Mo. The song today.
You don't
want to
hear me sing, but
I want to hear you sing. The
song I
want to
sing.
Great, Dennis. I've got the lyrics up on my recruitinganimalshow.com. At least I got the first part of it. The song's April Showers. Everybody knows that. Who's singing?
I don't know that.
Well, me and Janice, okay? Mo, are you chicken or are you in? Say one of them.
I'll sing, but this could be your least listened to show of all time.
No,
in a
it's already
seconds,
not
I'll
that
give it a shot.
There's not that many people here. It's already going downhill, okay? So you
that
can't wreck it. Don't worry about
Fair
that.
Enough.
You're invulnerable, okay? Here we go. One, two, three. Topic to cover, so I'm sorry I've had a long warm-up section, but I have to do an ad right now. Yeah, I want to tell everybody about allcountyjobs.com. Allcountyjobs.com. Recruiter Mo, I noticed that you recently put your resume up on one of the big job boards, but these guys are the exact opposite. Allcountyjobs.com is a sponsor, a paying sponsor of this show, and they create local job boards, county by county by county. FairfieldCountyJobs.com gets 100,000 hits a week with 1 million page views a month. I can't swear by it, but that's what their website says. But I know Chris Russell, the owner. I believe him. He also has got LongIslandJobs.net, BaltimoreJobs.net, PhiladelphiaJobs.net, Washington, D.C. Jobs.net, AllCountyJobs.com. Recruiters, if you're putting ads up there, consider it. It's reasonably priced, and it's local. Think local.
Hey, does he have AvillaJobs.net? Do you know?
Avila, Indiana is where Jerry lives, everybody, just so you know.
Okay, oh, and it's happening now, here, believe me.
Yeah,
it's going on.
I'll bet. Okay. Now you. I've been reading your blog, Recruiter Mo, even before we say who you are and all that stuff. You're a recruiter, and you've been internal as well. You were an internal recruiter at Zoom Info, right?
Yeah.
Okay,
about
don't hesitate,
years.
Recruiter Mo. You were fun on the phone when I talked to you last week, just like everybody, okay? I said, wow, this guy's great, but he's not great now, okay? You better wake up. Anyway, I called this section I Hate Career Sites because you just had the longest blog post. You went nuts. You said, every once in a while, I see a role that I think looks really, really interesting, and I apply. First thing you notice, they've got tons and tons of, you go to their career page, they got tons of questions, takes you a long time. And this is what you said happened last time. The minute I hit the submit button, an email response arrived in my inbox saying they received my resume and somebody's going to look at it carefully. 14 minutes later, you got another email saying, we look carefully at your resume and we will not be pursuing you at this time. Now, you don't really believe that they looked at your resume, right?
No, because I think that was at like 7 at night, and it was for a university. So I don't think I was working at 7 o'clock in HR at a university on a Friday night. But somebody saw my resume according to their system, and I wasn't a fit. So I don't know. Either they got a remarkably attentive workforce sitting there just waiting on resumes and scanning them fast, or something glitched.
Yeah, okay, look, I got to cut you off. You're getting boring, but it was a good blog post. I'll guide you through it, okay?
Thank you, sir.
The problem is they get some know-nothing recruiter who doesn't know anything about the job, who sat down with the hiring manager for 10 minutes. You know, the guy just wanted to get rid of them, gave them a bunch of answers to their stupid questions, and they set up filtering questions on the website that have no relevance at all. They can't really filter out the good people, and this is how they decide the fate of the company. Is that true?
I think so. Yeah, that's part of it. They overfilter. They're putting it. In fact, I noticed one application, because I like to test these things. I'm kind of a geek with ATSs. I like to kind of test them a bit. So I went into one application, and I'll say the name of the ATS that I've had the most trouble with. It was Taleo, and there's a million radio buttons. And if you click on your salary desired, you know, this one, say 100, 110, 120, 130, whatever. You click on the salary you're looking for, or you were making. If you scroll down. If you use your mouse to scroll down, it'll actually select the next radio button down. It'll move your selection down without you noticing it. So if that's a knockout question, even if you were in the range, their loopy UI just does not get out.
Okay, so you're saying that's a glitch. But you
Among
actually
others.
Say they shouldn't be asking you the salary question anyway, right?
Yeah, I don't think they should. I mean,
why
I think
not?
If you've got – well, so I've – just from talking with clients, like hiring managers, who'll say, look, I mean, we want to pay this much, but if you find somebody phenomenal, yeah, we'll go above the range. Or, you know, we'll absolutely be open to talking to people if they're great, and we'll flex. And we've all seen that happen with our clients, internal or external. But if the ATS says, we need this number, you got to be in this bucket, and you're 10 grand above it, you're out. Even if the hiring manager, if they'd met you, would have said, man, this guy or this gal is phenomenal, I want to hire him, and I'll pay him the extra money, or I'll give him a sign-up, and we'll make it work. Or on the flip side, the candidate might come in and say, geez, I love this company, and I'll take a lower salary because they've got this great benefit package, or I can learn this technology or whatever. I mean, setting up salary at the beginning, that's going to shift a bit during the process, and it may go up, may go down, but to make that one of your major knockouts, just so you can cut down the number of applicants, to me, seems kind of silly.
Okay, so you think that this whole way that a lot of companies are filtering their applicants on their own is totally misguided. It's terrible. What percentage of companies are doing stupid things in this regard?
What percentage? Yeah, I'd say the majority I've looked at. It's just if the ATS isn't kind of dead simple, if the application process of the candidate isn't pretty dead simple, like here's how you apply, and here's a couple of quick questions. You know, do you live in the area, and how'd you find us? Who do you know at the company? A couple of quick kind of things so you can develop more of an affinity for the candidate, and then let them apply. Kind of get out of the way. Don't block them from applying. I think of it kind of like marketing, where the last thing you want, if you've spent a lot of money on driving traffic to your e-commerce site for buyers, when they get to your site, the last thing you want to do is make it hard for them to buy. I mean, that's what an application is. It's somebody indicating they want to buy a product from you, want to buy a job from you, an employment from you. And you're probably better off looking through the resumes, and it takes a bit of time, than knocking out some
you got a
fires.
Bunch of tips for people, especially for job hunters. But does anybody have a comment on this now? Because really, that's a good selling feature. If you can prove it to somebody, you can say, look, you should use me as a recruiter because, you know, I'm going to put time into your hiring process that you're not going to do yourself. Your hiring process is shoddy. Do you ever use that with clients?
I have. I mean, you got to be kind of political about it because if you're talking to the HR person who set the whole thing up, you're insulting what they did and their work, and that's how you lose a client pretty quickly. But you can make the point, look, here's you point out what you've noticed by going trying to apply and say, I've got somebody I think is great. Would
hey,
you
can
look
anybody
at this person?
Understand this guy? He's sort of mumbling under his breath. Tell me on Twitter, okay? Maureen, please tell me if the people say they can hear him, okay? Go ahead, Mo.
I can hear him. He needs to slow down a little bit. But
yeah,
I can hear
him. Okay.
I'll slow down a bit.
Sorry about that. Okay, go ahead.
I'm like Paul from your – what's that?
So this is a pot calling the kettle black. You're doing good.
Thank you. I feel kind of like – who is that guy, Paul, you had on a few weeks ago? Fast talker.
Oh, Alfred, yeah. Come on. You haven't got one hit yet. Nobody said a thing to you. Come on.
Yeah, I mean, as far as speed of talking.
Just
not,
go
no,
ahead,
was,
answer the question.
You guys are being nice.
Waste time.
I got a question.
Go ahead.
Okay, go ahead.
Are you a job seeker? Are you a recruiter? What do you do?
He's a recruiter.
I'm a recruiter.
Okay, tell them who you are now. Didn't you hear?
Yeah,
Dennis,
sure.
Did you
no,
wake
I'm
up? If you didn't you hear that I said he was a recruiter with Zoom Info? Okay, go ahead. Now tell who you are.
All
go
right.
ahead.
So,
tell
so
who
here's
you are.
Who I am. A quick nutshell. So I was with ZoomInfo for 4 years before the agency side for a number of years. Last year or so, year and a half, running my own kind of little agency, doing recruiting for clients around Boston. I'm right now retained by one main client with a couple side clients. And I haven't really been seeking so much. I was last year looking around at some possible interesting roles. And I think like anybody, I'm willing to keep my ears open for something that sounds kind of exciting. But I'm passive, I guess. And I hate that phrase, but I'm not actively seeking.
Okay,
things are pretty
people.
Good.
You recruit IT people, is that right?
Yeah, that's my
focus.
That's
important.
Well, you didn't say that. You didn't say that, Jerry.
Sorry,
I got a question
that.
For you, Jerry. You there?
Yeah.
What do you think about an IT recruiter who's on his own, who's always got his eyes open for a permanent role inside a company? Would you say there's something wrong with that guy's practice, or he wouldn't want to leave it?
I would wonder why he didn't like doing what he is doing. I wouldn't necessarily say there's something wrong with that guy.
Appreciate
are you
that.
Successful, Mo?
Yeah,
right.
I'm doing well. No, things are good. I like what I'm doing, but I guess when I say something interesting, it's, if it's a fast-growing company that's looking for someone to come in and build an internal agency, I might look at it. But I'm not. I'm really not active. Annalie, you mentioned earlier that I put my resume up on a board recently. I don't think I have. Where'd you see that?
Okay,
that should come down.
That went farther back in your blog. Okay.
Okay, that was a while ago.
You put your resume on. You put your resume on Monster, and you've got these Indian recruiters coming after you with crappy jobs.
Oh, that was a test. Yeah, I wanted to see what kind of response happened. That was more me sort of playing with the system than anything else. So here's the thing. It's a hobby, which is geeky. I like playing around with HR technology. You know, ATSs, job boards, looking at how they function, and it's just sort of a geeky thing I do on the side for fun. I don't know why. But yeah, the Monster thing was more of a test to see what kind of response I got and who was using Monster and what the inflow to candidates looked like, and it was pretty shoddy.
Well, you want to tell people about it now that we're talking about it? We got to have some substance on the show, okay?
Yeah, sure thing. So every to this day, actually, every couple of days I get offers to sell insurance. I get a lot of those. You know, it's kind of constant email stream from insurance companies to sell insurance for them, franchise opportunities, home-based businesses. Nothing at all to do with, and maybe it's because I'm just, you know, I got a lousy resume. Maybe that's just to be more self-aware than that. But I think I've got a decent background. Nothing that has to do with actual day-to-day recruiting, like you're running an agency or being an agency recruiter or working in-house. Nothing around that. It's all more sort of, I don't know, used car salesman like kind
of
jobs.
Okay, but it's not
impressive.
It's not impressive. The amount of junk email from you're getting from your monster posting, it's not oppressive, is it?
I shut it off after a while. Cause it was about every day I was getting some kind of like junk in, and then Monster sent in.
I personally think people should have their resumes on Monster and Career Builder just like they have it on LinkedIn. You know, do you agree?
No, not so much. I think, you know, if you got it in places like ScriptD, LinkedIn, somewhat like Chris's job boards are good. I think if you really like kind of get if you want to get active,
you mean
but
allcountyjobs.com.
All county jobs,
county
absolutely.
Allcountyjobs.com. Okay.
And I want to give Chris a plug too. Chris is a fine guy and a buddy. I like him a lot, and his boards are good. But I wouldn't. Monster Career Builder, the kind of junk I was getting, I got nothing relevant and just a bunch of noise. So what was the point?
So that's why the delete button exists, man. I just
absolutely.
Okay.
The more visibility, the better.
Now, here's your recommendations with regards to the I don't know. Nobody seems that interested. I found here's a guy who actually studied the issue of the famous black hole. He's given some examples, not a lot of detail, but some idea of what's going wrong, and he's got some solutions. The first solution I don't think is realistic. He says to the HR people, the internal recruiters, hire an assistant to cover for you while you spend time going through resume after resume. It's painful but important work. Look beyond the keywords. Well, you know that's nonsense.
I don't know. I think it depends on the floor you're getting in. I mean, it's if
they
you miss
the
one.
Junior people, they got the junior people anyway, so you think they're going to go through resume after resume, even though they've got the system in there. No way. Now, here you've got knockout punches, the kind of key questions that knock people out. They can include job hopping, obvious falsehoods, commute issues, but that should be it. Now, you talked about that before. Don't put roadblocks in the way of people applying for the job. Don't be too strict or complicated in how easy it is to rule them out. That's one thing to put. But here's what you say to job seekers. Go around the career site. Stay away from it. Use social media, especially LinkedIn, to find people in your network who are connected to the company and ask them to get you in. I was shocked. You think this is a disaster for job hunters. Is that right?
I think it's going to become a real problem. I think it's slowed down the hiring process and the job seeking process to the point that jobs are open for longer than they have to be. People are employed for longer than they have to be, and people get frustrated. And there are these obvious kind of connections that could happen if people knew better than just putting their resume in and praying for a response and waiting day after day, week after week, and getting nothing, or maybe an automated rejection letter 14 minutes after they apply.
Yeah,
so,
I don't spend a lot of
correct.
Time on. Does he incorrect?
He is correct.
He's correct. Does anybody else besides Janice agree with them? Hold on, Janice. I'll get back to you.
Right.
Anybody
you,
else want to say something? I'm giving the floor open. Come on. No opinions?
Can we ask if Nate's called in yet?
Okay, they're not finding you interesting when they're looking for Nate. Okay, Martin? Here, I'll just read through.
I don't know.
Yeah,
that's
okay.
Not what I meant.
Yes, it is, Maureen. If you can't find, this is what Mo says, Recruiter Mo, and his real name is Martin Burns. I don't know what he likes to go by, but his name is Martin Burns. But he calls himself Recruiter Mo. That's fine with me. But Mo says, if you can't find the connectors on LinkedIn, send a direct email to the hiring manager with your information. How do they find that person, Mo?
You can find it a couple of ways. It depends on, and it's a guess. Sometimes you can use sites, and I'll pitch the company, but you can use Zoom Info. You can probably make a decent guess via LinkedIn. At least just to do a LinkedIn search, look for someone whose title is similar to the role of the department that you're looking to get into. Say it's IT, manager of IT at that company.
Do you have cotton in your mouth? I can't understand.
Now, let me get a sip of water. Hang on a second. Sip of water.
Okay, Janice, what did you want to say? Janice, come forward while he's getting his water.
I am
Janice.
Here. I'm here.
What did you want to say?
I was eating
breakfast. What did you want to say?
All right, here's what I want to say. Number one, apply online. because when somebody gets on the phone with
no.
you and says, we only take applications online, you can
no.
use those three words and you can say, I already did. Nobody could turn you away because you haven't done something. We tell our people, apply online, then do exactly what this guest says to do. Go to LinkedIn, go beyond applying online, but start there, okay? We tell people, go to a company and find out who's in charge and pursue them, whether it's LinkedIn or anything else. What do recruiters do to get job orders? That's what you do to get a job. So it's all that research, all that, you know, finding out who's in charge.
I remember when Dave Graziano went around the internal recruiters and approached the hiring manager on his own, had a half an hour conversation with him. Laura Wieser came on, and she's on the corporate side right now, and she said, man, if you do that, we hate you, and you're out. No way. I remember that's what she said.
The only people that should worry about finding a way to skirt the system are the people who probably aren't really even qualified.
Oh, that's not right.
If you're qualified and you introduce yourself the way that whatever the process is suggests, are we to assume that nothing's going to happen? Who started this story?
That's Mo.
Millions of people, millions of people who are getting turned away, who are never getting in, who are highly qualified.
Janice. Let Mo defend it since he stuck his neck out. Come on.
Yeah, sure thing. So, all right, just the example that.
Don't apologize, Janice. I appreciate what you have to say. Okay.
And Janice, I appreciate your backing me up.
From WorthingtonCareers.com. Okay, go ahead.
Thank you.
All right, so yeah, just a live example, Jerry. I mean, what Anne was talking about, you know, happened to me quite literally, where I applied for a job that. Looking at the rack, looking at my resume, just from a kind of taking a step back, I was a fit for. There should have at least been some level of interest. If not, them calling me, at least checking some background references, thinking about a little bit, whatever, before rejecting me, whatever. But within 14 minutes of the resume going into the system, a rejection came back at night. Nobody saw the resume ever. And looking at literally the years of experience, title, kind of company it came from, mix of agency, corporate, there should have been, I shouldn't have gotten knocked out. It should have at least
How
been.
How large of a company was it? Mo, how large of a company was it?
So it was like employee-wise, about 500 people.
That's
so,
it. Okay, because I
yeah,
know some of the larger companies, the corporate recruiters are under such stress for their time to fill that you literally they could be looking at your resume on a Friday night at 7 o'clock and rejecting you within 14 minutes to make their metrics.
It's possible. I mean, it's absolutely possible, but.
But they're obviously not looking at it very carefully, and that's it's very frustrating because these corporate recruiters are held to their time to fill and their metrics, and they're like people are saying they're searching for keywords that maybe you don't have included in your resume, so they're going to throw your resume out.
Who did your resume?
I did my resume.
Ah.
I would tell you have one of these people on. Animal, do your resume. It
yeah, okay,
made a
fine,
huge
yeah.
difference for a
yeah.
friend of mine.
Okay,
honestly,
he's no dummy. He's a guy's
he
a writer. He's writing a novel. He thinks
Doesn't
he can
matter.
Write his own resume, okay?
It takes a special talent to write your own resume.
Like
okay.
Boy Wonder.
Okay. Okay, so job. Okay, so after you say go, and you tell the people if they can't find, if they can also approach the hiring manager through LinkedIn, but don't go through Facebook. Because Facebook is for private stuff, not work stuff. Is that right?
Yeah, I think Facebook is a little funky. Yeah, some people are okay with using it for business, but a lot of people, they feel kind of weird about getting approached that way.
Well,
so
yeah,
I think LinkedIn.
We had a successful recruiter on this
Use
show.
Use Branch
one of the most
Out.
Interesting, one of the most, wait a second, we'll come back to that. One of the most interesting guests we've ever had, Trini Vitello, at C. Vitello on Twitter. And she always goes to people via Facebook. I've heard that if they don't like it, they can get Facebook to kick you off. So,
yep.
And it's risky, but she does it.
Yeah,
okay.
I don't know.
What,
I mean, to me, it's more like a party.
Branch Out? What's Branch Out?
Hi, this
it's
is
an app
Lori,
for Facebook.
Desitels, and Branch Out is exclusively for people to connect with businesses and people. It's an app. It's an app on Facebook that people sign up for. So I might know two people at Microsoft, but I can see a list of names of 10 to 20 to 50 people they may know and get names there. And that's strictly for business. It's Branch Out.
Yeah, I'm registered, but I never use it. Mo, do you use Branch Out?
Yeah, we're connected on it. I think, yeah, and I haven't used it much, frankly. I mean, I'm on it because it's more noise out there.
Has anybody used Branch Out here? Has any recruiter used Branch Out on this show? No. Obviously
I
not. It hasn't caught up. Well, why didn't you say something before?
Because I spoke about it. I use Branch Out.
As a recruiter?
Yes, I've used it to generate names, to find people. Yes.
Okay, and were you successful?
Yes, I was successful. Because
but
I've got
a
lot of connections.
You're a job hunter now, right? This is Lori Desautels, right?
Yes,
I am,
well, both. I'm looking for a contract, but I'm also doing recruiting third party on the side. And I use Branch Out to find names.
Oh, okay. I've never heard of anybody using it before. Congratulations.
I think Jeff Webb and Jeremy Lang over at Starbucks are big users of it. They can probably give opinions.
Oh, okay. Okay. So anyway, I think I've beat that one to death. I don't know. You need to be chiming in, but I thought it was interesting. I mean, you have an example of yourself, okay? Anyway. Okay. Now, listen, let me ask you something, Mo. Are you there,
sure.
Mo?
I'm here.
What would you think about if you receive a resume, you're a hiring manager, you get a resume in the email, and it's got a play button on top, and when you press that button, you hear the recruiter asking the candidate your three most important questions. What do you think about that?
Well, I think Jerry's technology is fantastic. I think it'd be kind of cool, actually. I saw that Jerry's doing that. I actually want to play around with it because it could be interesting. You know, to kind of get their voice, their perspective, you know, why not?
Okay, that's Jerry, not Gary, okay?
I mean,
and the product is called verbalsummary.com. Verbalsummary.com. And if you're curious, just get in touch with @Jerry_Albright. He'd love to talk to you about it. Now,
I want
to talk about anybody got any questions for Mo before I go on?
Just
what?
Listen.
Go ahead.
Video resumes, what do you think?
I'm so torn by that. I've seen some good ones, but I've seen some train wrecks. And so there's a huge risk to put out there to put yourself in video if you can't pull it off. That's the first problem. And just getting folks to actually look at it and accept it. And I don't know. I'm not sure I'm a huge fan of a video resume. They're dicey, I think.
You know, I can't resist reading this note from – who's making that noise? Come on, stop it! Julia Alina – who was a guest on this show, says Jerry Albright, the guy who shouts, Jerry is just wrong, capital wrong. I have had repeated experience where my phone call prompted real attention from the hiring manager when the ATS rejected it. Okay, Jerry, now you can come back and say, so how come you're still looking for a job? But that's up to you. Okay, let me move on.
No.
Are we finished with the video things? Yes, the video resumes, yeah. Now, I was reading on Punk Rock HR, or Lori Rudiman's blog, cynicalgirl.com, that she said, do you know who Lori Rudiman is, Recruiter Mo?
Yeah, I know Lori.
Okay. Now, she said today, humans are more complex than laundry detergent. I am Lori Rudiman. I am more than just a brand. She had this whole... shtick about, branding isn't important. But I'll tell you what, she is totally a brand to me. She's almost nothing more than a brand. She's the Sarah Silverman of HR, right? And, she's funny, she talks dirty, she finally got a job apparently, she's got no kids, she's got six cats. I can rhyme off a few things about her. But you know what? I can't know everybody well. Some people are just going to be one-dimensional images to me. So why shouldn't they make sure that it's a good image? Lori is wrong, isn't she, Mo?
Yeah, I haven't read the article, but based on what you told me, which may be a bit biased, I think I agree with you on this. I'm going to say that with a lot of cautions in there. I think you need a bit of a brand. You gotta polish who you are a little bit. It's the first impression thing, and the first impression of us nowadays, like it or not, is not the first phone call, the first conversation. It's the online.
I don't think
stuff.
A brand is a first impression. What's your brand, Mo?
My brand? That's a good question. Fractured? No, it's my brand is just I'm a recruiter. I'm kind of cheeky. I'm honest. I like people in general, and I'm interested in the industry. It's
Uh-huh. And you put that out there on a regular basis, and people know that. You repeat those statements a lot, right?
Yeah, and different. And I say it better than that, but yeah.
Okay. Do you have an elevator speech?
My pitch? Yeah, my pitch is pretty simple. I'm very good at finding talent and understanding what talent fits at what companies, and I really believe that the right talent with the right company can change the world, and I can help with that.
Okay. You think that recruiting is the most important function in a company, right?
I think it's critical. I think good recruiting can change a company.
But other people don't realize that, right?
Absolutely.
Okay. Do you have any examples to back up what you just said, that good recruiting can change a company?
Yeah, sure. I mean, think about, this is a cliched example, I think, but let's talk about Google for a second. I mean, the founders of Google have come out and said that recruiting is one of their primary functions. I mean, these guys are involved in more than just hiring, but they think it's absolutely critical. When they went public, a big part of their filing talked about how good recruiting would keep them going forward and make them successful. And I think they really get it, that it's all the
people
that own the
company. You know what? You have a story, like a real story about a company that was saved by recruiting or really improved by recruiting, not just giving us some baffle gab from some CEO. Come on.
Well, I think that's actually real. But all right, another good example. Yeah, on the employee retention side, maybe this is more gaffle bag. What the hell is that word, man? Steve Jobs, when the recession happened, the dot-com boom happened, he went out there and said, "We're not laying anybody off." So this is not so much recruiting, but HR and retention of talent. Same idea, I think. In the end, it's keeping your talent, getting your talent, and keeping it. And so we're laying nobody off. We're going to invest in you guys and hang on to you, and let's come out of this thing with better products. And they produced the iPod and the iPhone and everything else.
Yeah, you know what?
And
that's not all the same. We're talking about recruiting, not retention. You can't prove what you said. That's typical, but I'm sorry to say, if you want to be more convincing, if you want to seem substantial, you should have some proof for your big statements about recruiting, okay? Anybody else want to say something?
Well, if you don't agree with him, why are you a recruiter, Animal?
What?
If you don't agree with the fact that your recruiting of talent makes a difference to a company, why are you in the recruiting industry?
Well, hold on. Are you agreeing with Mo?
Yes.
Can you prove it?
Can I prove it? Yes. I've made an impact on an $80 million account that we could have lost, and it was due to recruiting.
Give me an example. Tell me the story.
I'm going to give you an example. I had to find an executive chef for Stanford Medical Center. It was a huge account. We could have lost the account. Normally it takes 8 to 10 months to find that person. Found the person in 2 weeks, saved the account, and was voted top to recruiter of the nation.
Yeah,
that
you know
company.
What? That sounds like, to me, that sounds like a personal bragging story, which is
no,
fine.
No, it's
not.
It
the appropriate
saved
time.
Our account.
But it's
your,
that's not it. We're
account.
Talking about saving the company the guy goes into,
we
okay?
Did.
What
we
did the chef do for the company? You didn't tell us anything about that.
I have
well,
an example.
I can tell you.
Go
I can have an example.
Go ahead, Lori Desautel.
Okay, I have an example. I worked with Bayer. Sharing, they turned into Bayer Shearing up in Emeryville, California. They gave me the search to fill their whole engineering department, control systems, water engineering, principal engineers, mechanical engineers. I filled every single position. And to this date, I talked to the hiring manager Christmas time that 6 of the 8 employees that I have placed there have stayed there, and they have also launched 2 new drugs, and that's the bulk of the engineering manufacturing department, and have made them money. So that's placing good quality candidates as a recruiter is crucial.
Mm-hmm. Okay, good. At least you got a story to back up what you said. Not like my guest, okay? Or Captain Manis, C-1, who's done me the favor of coming back to the show this week and telling the wrong kind of story, okay?
No, you wouldn't let me finish. We got additional business.
No, I liked your story.
We got additional business through that. We got new divisions because of that. That helped
no
the
comment.
Company.
No comment. Okay,
how
Mo,
did that not help
you.
The company and job seekers?
Thank you, Kathy. Thank you. Mo,
you
said on your blog, you made some comments about branding. You said that there's a whole bunch of the most descriptive words used on LinkedIn, and they're just total garbage. More than anything else, people say stuff like this. Extensive, this is how they describe themselves. Extensive experience, innovative, motivated, results-oriented, dynamic, proven track record, team player, fast-paced, problem solver, entrepreneurial, you think those don't mean anything. They are garbage that should not be on their profiles. Is that right?
If those are the questioning words you use on a regular basis in your profile, no. It's sort of like saying win-win, synergy, all that kind of stuff. Now, maybe you're entrepreneurial and you can back it up. Maybe you are, well, the people person, I'm not sure you can back that one up, because isn't everybody they claim? Some of those straight phrases might be valid in the right context.
I'm not a people person. I'm not going to claim that.
I wouldn't either, man. But
Mo,
those
words put people to sleep today. That's better than Solmonex.
I'm back. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you, Terry. We really missed you. Okay, now keep going, Mo. I want to hear what you have to say. What can they use in place of this garbage? Why do they use it? Is it like, you know,
it's easy.
It's easy.
I think it's just ignorant.
You know what? If your kids are getting married and you don't usually send out fancy invitations, you put all that stupid design work on it that everybody else does, and you just don't know what to do. So you think, oh, this is the way it's supposed to be, even if it's meaningless, and they just slap it on there. Is that it?
That's the absolute. There's no passion behind the words because you don't really mean it. I mean, you're better off putting data in and accomplishments. Say, I did this. I went in the company. My division was doing X sales. By the time I was done as sales director or whatnot, you know, we increased sales by 300% because I did these things.
On your blog, you pointed out that not only do we always complain about this in resumes, on LinkedIn, where they have stats about keywords, those are, in fact, the most descriptive. These stupid terms are the most descriptive words, the most used descriptive words on people's profiles. So people are silly, okay, right? Okay, now on your blog, you identified the kind of person you want to recruit. You said it's a person who's got a job she kind of likes, where she's kind of comfortable, she's been there a few years, but it's not really interesting. It's not really amazing. It's a bit repetitive, and there's some things that are wrong in the company, right? That's the kind of person you're targeting, not someone who's totally depressed, but just it's kind of ho-hum, okay? Is that right?
No, I see what I was talking about. I think there's a blog post to people who are like that, sort of a nudge saying, "Hey, it's time to start looking around." I mean, those are good candidates, obviously, but I'm not gonna rule somebody out just because they hate their job.
Okay, in your blog post, which you must have forgotten by now, that's what you said you like in a candidate. I'm wondering if somebody says, "I'm doing okay, I'm fine here, I'm happy where I am," do you challenge them on that? On the basis, excuse me, of what you said here in your posting, that people say, yeah, it's comfortable, they know the way to work, you know, they know where the washrooms are, you know, why upset the apple cart? But really, they're not 100% satisfied, and you believe you can take them to a higher level of existence. Do you challenge them and tell them that?
Yeah, I'll ask them. I'll say, what would make it better? What's a better life for you? What's a better job for you? What's going to make you happy and excited to go to work every day? And if I have something like that, I want to talk to them about it, or at least I want to keep in mind what they're looking for so when I get the right kind of role, I can put it in front of them. I'm not going to BS them if I don't have it. But
mm-hmm. Do you have an example, Mo?
Yeah, sure. I mean, so live example. I was talking with a guy. In fact, we just hired him. I was talking with a guy a couple weeks ago, maybe 3 or 4 weeks ago. I say we, my client. And good guy, smart guy.
Did you call him out of the blue? Cold call?
Referral. So I was sourcing through and talking to person, and I was giving his name, saying he's very good. He might be looking. I'm not sure. One of his old colleagues. So I called him in, and he picked up. I used the name of the person who connected us to get through to him. Well, he picked up. He said, "Well, things are good. I'm leading the department right now. He's one of the developers. I'm the cutting edge guy. I'm the go to guy for all the technologies." And I said, "Well, how does that feel? I mean, is that what you want to be the kind of smartest guy in the room?" He said, "Well, it's good, but I'd like to learn more." And what my client has to offer is it's basically a team of consultants. They consider themselves, and I think they are probably some of the best Microsoft technologists in the world. So I said, "Look, this is what we do here. These guys are just top notch. They're .NET 4.0. They're SharePoint experts. Here's the training. Here's the work they do. Things like that. Would you want to work a place like that? It'll challenge you. You'll have to learn some things. You'll be working with folks who are going to pull you along." And probably no more than you did. You won't be the smartest guy in the room anymore. Do you want a role like that? And he jumped all over it because what I was hearing in his voice and a couple things he said.
At the beginning, did he say, "No, I'm not interested"? What did he say when you first pitched him?
At first, he said, "Well, I'm pretty happy here. Things are good. I'm the lead guy, and I'm their kind of go-to technology guy. And
okay,
that feels
so
kind of good about the job."
He gave you the target to attack right off the bat.
Exactly,
it just builds
which
was
easy. I mean, it's an easy example, but he actually started on Monday, this past Monday. So, and he's a good guy, and he's thrilled to be here. So it was a great move for him. I mean, they're already planning out his training, where they wanted to be in a year or so from now.
Let me ask you something. You're not a programmer, are you? You're kind of an artsy guy. Am I right about that?
Yeah, I'm a writer. I'm not a programmer. I did a bit of programming when I was a kid.
Yeah, but how did you have the basis to make your statement that, you know what, this is a better company for you, technology-wise, based on something that is technical? Where did you get the basis to make a profound technical statement?
Some things aren't that hard, because it's not so much programming, it's talking to my colleagues here, my client, and asking what they work on as far as technology goes, say, what is cutting edge? And they'll tell you that if you talk to a good architect who's respected, they'll give you a lay of the land. Well, here's current technology, here's where it's going, here's what I find exciting. I've got friends who are developers who I ask them on a regular basis, what do you geek out to? What do you have fun with? What's exciting to you? I'll show my job descriptions to friends of mine who are technical and architects, and they'll trash them and come back and say, do this, say this instead, because we're not stupid, and pitch it this way. So I look for input from people who are technical, who I respect, and get their kind of pointers and where to go with this stuff. So when I'm talking with somebody, I already kind of know what is and isn't cutting edge and what the guys are working on. So I know if he's working on .NET 2.0, that technology is several years out of date. They're now on .NET 4.0. That's kind of easy, right? And then there's some pieces where I'm picking up, it's like SharePoint 2010, if they're doing development versus administration, development harder, administration is a little easier. And 2010 is the most current technology. They're on a 3. It's sort of knowing your industry. It's not being a programmer per se, but it's just sort of understanding what is cutting edge and what isn't. And that's just reading and talking to people.
Okay. Maureen Sherub, are you still on the line?
I'm here.
Is there anything interesting on Twitter that I should be aware of, since nobody's saying much here except Janice and Kathy?
Yeah, I think you've got it covered.
I've got it covered. There's nothing anybody's saying there on Twitter that my friend Mo should be aware of, or that I should be aware of. Is that what you're saying?
Am I missing something? You tell me.
Well, I don't know. I had hey, to
pick can
up
I, can
Julio
I break in
Lita.
Here?
Pardon me?
Can I break in here? With an
yeah,
announcement?
Go ahead. Yeah.
Please do.
A lot of my clients listen to this show, and one client in particular is listening, and I would like to just let him know the Eagle has landed.
Congratulations.
I repeat, the Eagle has landed.
Woo-hoo. Great, Jerry.
That's got to be good news.
Mean something. Okay. It must be good news. Okay. The Eagle has landed. Maybe. Okay. You know, Area 314 was blocked.
Excuse me. He will land Monday at 8.
And his name is...
Yeah, this is some kind of gag, and a couple of minutes later, he's going to say, well, make that Friday at 8 o'clock, okay?
No,
and,
Monday at 2,
okay,
which happens to be May Day in the U.K.,
okay, they still have May Day there. Okay,
Ireland.
So, you know what? Sorry, what's your cold call? You know, Jerry doesn't like me asking it, but he's barely participating anyway, so let me ask you that question.
Because I'm making a face with animals. Stop slamming me.
Okay, sorry, Jerry. Sorry, you know, I wouldn't, you're such a nice guy, I wouldn't want to hurt your feelings. So, what is your cold call, Mo? What do you say to people when you call them up out of the blue?
If I come out of the blue, I'm pretty open and honest that I'm a recruiter and I'm working on this kind of a role. It's a sort of a general kind of description of what the role is. Need a couple minutes of their time if they have it. If not, I understand. What I'm looking for is talking about the job a little bit, network the role with them.
I want to hear your cold call. I don't want to hear about your cold call.
Oh,
I
call
want
you?
To
okay.
hear your cold call, okay?
Fair enough. All right, so
recruit animal.
Oh, God.
So recruit Jerry. He knows about the kind of stuff you talk about, okay? Talk to Jerry. He understands.
Let me call Jerry instead. Jerry, you
talk
there?
To me.
Or
talk
are you
to
busy?
Me,
you landed the
I'm not busy anymore. I'm kind of just relaxing, breathing a little bit.
Nice. Nice. That's a nice place to be. Congratulations again, by the way.
Thank
so,
you,
all right. So, ring, ring.
Hi, this is Jerry.
Hey, Jerry. Martin Burns calling. I'm a recruiter in the technology space in Boston, and I'm working on a role that I thought you might be able to help me with. If you have about 2 minutes.
Sure. What's up?
Appreciate that. Sorry to cut you off. What I'm working on is with a client of mine. They are a consulting company. They hire Microsoft technologists, primarily architects, senior .NET developers, and SharePoint experts. I understand that you're pretty deep in that technology and thought you might know some folks who might want to hear more about the role itself. They're looking to hire an architect for a big project. Going to be architecting a system in .NET 4.0 using some pretty cutting-edge technologies from Microsoft. Again, don't know if you can think of anybody, but if you're interested or know somebody, I'd love to chat with them or with you directly more about it.
Is this a contract or a full-time?
This is a full-time role. What we do is, my client does, is they hire consultants full-time to the company, and then they work on these six-month, a year-long engagements at client sites as part of a team of my client's employees.
Okay. And what kind of guy are you looking for?
Well, for this role, it'll be an architect. So someone's got a pretty – who's sort of a blend of design as well as hands-on coding, so about 20% hands-on development. But it's someone who can really kind of dive in if they need to into the code as the project goes along. But their primary role is design of a large system.
Huh. Yeah, I don't know anybody. Sorry, man.
I appreciate that. I really appreciate that. Could I keep up with you, send you an email so you know who I am for down the road?
Yeah.
And touch base in, say, 6 months or so?
Sure.
Would that be cool?
Yeah.
I appreciate that. And again, I work on these kind of roles on a regular basis. So if you're looking down the road and there's something you want to hear about, you know, feel free to let me know what kind of fits for you as far as location, kind of company. Happy to keep you in mind, and I appreciate your time.
Sure. Sure, yeah. Just send me an email.
Jerry, what's your email address?
Jerry@getherdone.com.
That's a good email address, man. I appreciate that. Yeah, I'll be in touch. Again, Martin Burns. And here's my number. I'll give you my number. Here's my email address. Here's my email address. And we'll talk soon, Jerry. Appreciate it.
All right. Yeah, that sounded good.
That was interesting.
Hold on a second. Here's what I thought was good about it. He sounds like he knows what he's talking about. But
yeah.
According to what we've heard here, he let Jerry off the hook pretty easy because Jerry might have had the skills for him. You didn't really ask Jerry if he wanted this job, right?
No, and I don't hound folks that way. And maybe it's a mistake on my part, but I found long-term building a relationship like that with somebody where you're not going to harass them right away, but you stay in touch, you build some respect, and yeah, and maybe you place them in 6 months instead of right away, but then you've built a partnership with the person for their career.
Yeah, Maureen Sherb is saying she likes the way you extracted his email address, but that's just about all you got out of him, right?
No, I got a follow-up commitment. He's okay to keep communication down the road.
Yeah,
so
he opened the door with me, Animal.
Okay, yeah, but you would have opened it a little farther, according to your philosophy, right?
Who's mine?
Yeah.
It depends on how the call goes. I mean, some people just don't give you much, and you're just hoping to say, hey, can I keep in touch and send you an email? And if you get their email address, then they're giving you permission to make presentations to them, which...
Okay, I don't want to attack you. I don't want to attack you, Jerry.
So. Try. Attack me. I dare you. I'm
I
at the top of my game
you know
right
I
now, buddy.
Jerry's feeling good.
I have a question.
Go ahead.
Recruiter Mo.
Yeah, sure.
Listening
who's
to
this?
your spiel, it doesn't sound like you mirror. In other words, Jerry's more laid back, kind of, you know, much slower, but you're fast.
Good point.
Yeah.
You keep up a pace. Is that
slow
typical
as
for
in
you?
Mentally slow?
No, more like the dude from the movie. The Big Lebowski slow.
That's kind of Ridgemont High.
Yeah.
Who said
no,
that?
No, that's a good point. I mean, part of the problem I have with delivery is I've got a bit of a speech impediment, so I talk fast and stutter occasionally no matter what I do. So I work pretty hard on that. But to mirror Jerry, for me, would be sort of like me lifting a 500-pound weight over my head. I can't slow down that much. So.
You're too smart.
That's interesting.
Now, you know what? Now I feel bad for saying you've got cotton in your mouth, your tongue is heavy, and
oh, don't
stuff
worry
like
about
that.
It.
You're
I hear
doing
all the time,
great,
it's okay.
Then. If you're trying to overcome an
wow.
impediment or a
yeah,
handicap.
That's remarkable.
You
well,
sound like
I'm
a regular
recruiter.
Guy, almost.
I got into recruiting because I wanted to challenge myself a little bit and see if I could get past that.
So talking
far.
Fast helps you to get past the stuttering?
No, it's a bit of both. I try and... Yeah. Well, if I go too fast, I'll start stumbling over myself. So it kind of accelerates. So it's just a question of listening to myself talk and self-correcting.
Okay, now, you know what?
People
time's
telling
almost
me.
Over. I want to get to a couple,
yeah.
A couple of questions.
Can we ask if Nate called in?
Yeah, Nate didn't call, okay? Now, if your kid wants to get on the line, I'll talk to her, okay?
Mm-mm.
Now, here. You had a wonderful tribute to your father, who I'm surprised he's died, because I know you're not that old. But you had a great tribute to your dad, who was the dean of undergraduate studies at a college. And you said, in your mind, You know, I was talking to Jerry about it this morning, when he called me about show prep. I said, boy, his father's different than mine. So, but you think your father was a leader, a great leader
yeah.
you know, in his community. And so you said on your posting that a leader should be a teacher, someone who helps bring out the best from the staff, someone who forgives errors. And you say clearly that someone who is harsh in the way they talk to people cannot do this job well. And you said, a motto for a leader, never lead by force, bend like a willow, but never break. What does that mean, bend like a willow, but
never break?
Well,
that's a good cliche that I used. So I probably shouldn't use that cliche. But I guess the best example of my dad is he was a woodworker on the side as a hobby. And during his eulogy, his best friend said, look, we were working on a project together, and we were working with mahogany. I went to sand the stuff, and Dean Burns said, no, don't sand it. Rub oil in it, and it pulls a light out of the wood. There's a deep light in the wood that if you spend time and work with it, it takes a long time. It really brings the light out of the wood, and that's how my father was with his staff, with his students. It takes more time and effort, but if you can really kind of find –
but here's my recruiting question.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah,
you've
sure.
You've got a fairly clear – I've asked other people. No one ever has an answer. You've got
right.
a fairly clear leadership philosophy, I would say. So if you're interviewing someone for a senior position, how do you use that? How do you present that in an interview to assess them for a leadership role?
Yeah, there's some behavioral stuff. How do you motivate? You know, give me some examples of how you motivated in the past and how this resulted, and then you kind of follow through on those questions and see if they really can articulate their methods for motivating staff that are good is the wrong word, but a positive or a good way of motivating. And if their response is, well, if something's not working out, you just get rid of them and move on. And most folks are too smart to answer the question that way. But if you get answers around that kind of realm, then you dive in and see if that's really kind of where they go. And then after the interview, if you're going to hire the person, you talk to their former employees, do reference checks with their employees.
Okay, but, you know, a forced ranking means that they do fire the lowest you know, 10% or something, whether they're actually good or bad or not, right? Isn't that – that's a legitimate leadership policy, isn't it?
Oh, no, for sure. No, it's – I think it's – let me – it's – there are times you got to let folks go.
Maureen, can you put the mute on your phone?
That's not
please.
Me. That's not me.
That's probably Nate.
Who's got a kid in the background there?
For
not
you.
Me.
Who's got a kid there? Okay. This isn't a place for kids. Go ahead.
No.
Okay, so –
they're walking past.
So if you got to fire somebody, the first question is, before you fire somebody, what do you do? What steps do you take? Do you try and correct their behavior? Do you work with them? How did you work with them? Or if it was a layoff situation, how did you lay them off? How did you treat them?
Uh-huh.
Yeah,
well,
firing happens.
Those are the kind of questions. Those are the kind of questions.
I had to do that yesterday. It was terrible.
What are we talking about, firing people?
Yeah.
Leadership questions. Jerry, how would you assess someone for a leadership role? How would you assess their leadership philosophy and practices?
I'm not interested in leadership. Anyway.
Fine. Yeah. You know what? I just, before I'm done here, I want to criticize Resume Strategy. She's the
let her
right
have
now.
It.
Yeah. She posted on Facebook a quote from Tim Strategy, friend of this show, former guest. He said, I've never met a boring person, but from time to time, I fail to ask the right question. And then Resume Strategy chimes in, everybody is interesting if you get them talking about something that interests them, and you aren't so freakishly self-involved that you can't listen and ask questions. Well, you were talking about me, but you know what? If I have to dig to get some interesting nugget out of somebody, they're not an interesting person. Don't try to tell me everybody's interesting. It's not true. What do you say, Mo? Are you on my side or her side?
It's all relative. Not everyone's interesting to me, but everyone's probably interested in somebody.
Oh, yeah, don't be
No, man, there's some people that just plain suck.
Yeah, they kind of suck.
Lame,
yeah,
boring.
You want to know something? I'm not interesting. That's why I don't want to meet people. They say, I'm coming into Toronto. I want to meet you. What for? I'm not interesting. I don't have anything to say. I told people a million times. Now, Mo, your time is up today. I'm glad I got to know you a bit. You know, I've just seen your picture on, you know, social media for the last 5 years or so, and I'm happy you came. Do you have anything you'd like to say to my audience before we kick you off?
and then take me apart afterwards.
I don't think they're going to.
I'm kidding. A great meeting you. Well, quote unquote meeting you, Michael, and the gang. And no, it's been fun. It's been something I've wanted to do for a couple of years now. And thanks for the invite.
Got a word of wisdom? You have a word of wisdom that you haven't shared? That I haven't dug deep enough?
I don't have a lot of wisdom. I guess one word of wisdom is. Call everybody back with your candidates. One thing I hear out there a lot from candidates is they don't get responses from – no, if they're turned down from a job, let them know. That's one thing I've heard from people lately that it's not happening. So if there's anything else, I'll say
that. I can't deal with this.
That's people getting off a call.
That was 50 people hanging up in what's the word, synchronicity.
I gotta run too. See you guys.
See you, man. Hey guys, I gotta admit I am unqualified to host the after show. I'm out of sorts right now. Is anybody even still on the line? Anybody? One person.
You got ten people there. So three of them are muted.
I unmute everybody. I don't have the same kind of discrimination that you've got. Open them up. They're here for me, not you.
I'm here, Jerry.
Andy, what did you think of the show today? I missed it. I was involved in trench warfare.
Man, I got to tell you, I'm...
Hey, Animal,
know,
mute the person that's doing the beeping.
Okay, area code 203. I'm off now. I'm going to have some lunch.
What are you going to have?
Don't you worry about that. Just handle your show.
Hey, I'm not worried about it. I was seeing if you were interesting. Woo! Party! Yeah! Yeah, now you're talking. Andy Gregory, I'm sorry to have...
Yeah, no problem. No, I understand. We have to take care of housekeeping. I'm sure the guy's a nice guy. As a guest, I'm just going to say it was kind of on the plainer side of vanilla, pretty much. I mean, it really was. I mean, I just I don't remember a show being more, I mean, it's just kind of, I'm indifferent.
Well, and I'd like to take some responsibility for that. As the, dare I say, co-host of the show, a lot of times I'll sense when the show's going downhill, usually towards the beginning, and try to kind of prop it up here and there.
Sure.
But I had to go. I was distracted elsewhere. So... Perhaps that little bit is my fault. Sorry about that. So
I know what you mean.
Add 10 points on the score. That's all I'm saying. Everybody, please add 10 points.
Okay.
So hit us with some scores here, big time.
Yeah, I'll just go. I'm going to go 50 with a 10. With a plus 10. So I'll go 60 for the guest. And just kind of middle of the road. And for Animal, I thought he was actually pretty – I mean, he needed your propping up. Don't get me wrong. But I'm going to have to go with a 70 for him, and I'll add 10, as you suggest, for an 80.
Okay, great. All right. I appreciate that. Who else do we have with a score or anything to say or anything? For anything.
Hey, Jerry, it's Kathy.
C-1.
Hi. I thought the guest was really good. I really liked him. A lot of great grace under pressure. I liked his, role play with you, and that's hard to do, on demand. So I would have to give him an 80, and I'd probably give Animal an 80.
Okay. Thank you. Next. Anybody else? Is it just Kathy and Andy? That's it? That's all we've got?
I'm here.
Who's this?
It's Jeremy.
Hey, Jeremy.
What was the show about today? I'm kidding.
What was it about?
Well, it's about recruiting, I guess. Let's see here. No, I thought it was pretty good. I think, you know, the recruiters in the room on the phone and in the audience kind of tend to they sit in this bubble and they hear the same stuff over and over again. So
yeah.
I thought it had some value, and it certainly wasn't, you know, 103. We didn't get into, you know, the matchmaking requirements and salary requirements and, you know, and negotiations and what could happen if a spouse is not into it kind of thing. I think that's 102, 103 stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But for the 101, it was good. It was, you know, he gets a 70, Animal gets a 70. But somebody, you know, in order to keep the audience, which I would assume would be hiring professionals, interested, it's got to go above and beyond the cold call. It's got to get into what do you do if the spouse at the last minute says, I don't want to go, you know, because I don't like the PTA. I mean, you know, or whatever the case is. There's no availability for somebody, you know, with my background in that city. I mean, what do you do then?
That is an excellent critique of the show in general.
I think
a lot of the stuff is just the 101 stuff, and we need to get into the mechanics.
Yeah, exactly.
Of getting her done.
I think that's why people listen.
Mm-hmm.
I think.
Yeah.
There you go.
Because anything beyond that first, you know, the role-playing recruiting call or marketing call, that's all fairly rudimentary.
Yeah.
It's once you're putting the two together when things go askew. And let's have a show about that stuff sometime.
Well, right. Well, you
yeah.
know, why does that happen? And then, yeah, what do you do to resolve it? That's real recruiting. That's real job search.
Hey, when's your baby due?
September 1.
Is that Labor Day?
That is, yes.
How
my,
fitting.
My joke is it gives a whole new twist to the meaning Labor Day weekend.
Yeah.
So I'm hoping.
First, right?
Sorry?
This is your first?
Yep, my first. Oliver is his name so far.
When's the second one coming?
I don't know. It depends on how Oliver could be a complete a-hole, and we don't want to have a second one.
So you went ahead and found out that you're having a boy then, huh?
Yeah, Dolores is real realistic, if you will. She's like, you know what, tell me so I know what color to paint the room and give me the
exactly.
drug.
That's the smart thing.
No, I'm against that.
Nah.
I don't understand that 70% of people don't want to know the sex of the baby. I don't get that.
Well, I'll tell you, just from a guy who's been through it, I really enjoyed, you know, thinking of either having a boy or a girl each time. I mean, it like doubled the fun. You know, it's the one gift that you're actually given from not someone else. You know, it's like
right.
a true gift, and it's like opening your Christmas gift in July.
No, that's
just me. I mean, but I can dig it either way.
That's a good point. But you know what? We kind of knew the way it was going to go, being that my father has three brothers. They all have three sons. You know, my dad had three sons. So we pretty much factored it was probably going to be a son. And
wow.
We were right. I wanted to be honest with you. I would have not have minded to have a girl. I really wanted a girl, but that's cool either way.
I've got two boys, and they've got a little sister. And, yeah, they're just all just so interesting and fun. That either way is just a treat, a joy.
I tell people, you know, I don't care just as long as it's mine, you know.
Are they going to be then third generation resume coaches?
If they want, but being the way that things run, they'll probably run for the hills until they realize that they actually may have a talent. So we'll see. I mean, if they're talented in that, great. If not, then they can do whatever it is they want.
I don't really think you'll have a resume, you know, 30 years from now. I think you'll just have some giant data stream that companies just absorb, and it either meshes into their grid, and you're assigned a workstation, or not.
Oh, gosh.
Let me
hijack
the conversation, if I can, for just a second, because I want to ask a question just about that. Matt Collier, the social media guy, he's got a friend of his who's looking for a job in social media.
Is this Jim Durbin?
Yeah, I got back. Yeah, they were asking about...
Baby got back. Love it.
They said that they had a... They talked to a recruiter, the social media candidate, the marketing candidate with social media experience, asked a recruiter whether they should put social media on their resume, whether they should put their blogs and Twitter feeds and Facebook. And the recruiter said, no, And Mac and all the rest of the social media guys were totally flabbergasted why a recruiter would say no. And, of course, we all know because it depends. It depends on whether the manager will freak out or whether they want it overall. But there's some great stuff out of it. But let me ask you a quick question. My hard answer is if you're actually in social media, if you're doing social networking, and if you expect to use that for a new company, you've got no business sending a blind resume in. In fact, if you don't know how to get a job using social media, my thought is you don't know what the hell you're talking about, so leave it off your resume. Do you guys think that's too harsh, or do you think that's accurate?
No, that's right on. I mean, if you're applying for a social media job, if you don't have your social media links on your resume, then you're not qualified for the job, are you?
Well, that's the thing. They're saying that it's not technically a social job, but marketing and PR require a lot of the skills that are in there. But my thought, my whole point of it is, hey, our social media is just social networking. We know this as recruiters, but there's plenty of information you can reach out and find. If you're looking for a job and you need to tout that you have a business, that you're a thought leader, that you're well-connected, I'm just saying you've got no business going in blind to any company. And if you do, then you don't know what the hell you're talking about.
Yeah, I agree with that. I mean, that's pretty much common sense, really.
Yeah, but they don't want to hear that, though, I'm pretty sure. It's going to come across as pretty harsh. Because they think, I think, just having a network is all it takes. They've never had to think about how to apply it. But,
well, content,
I mean, it's
is
like
king.
Recruiters who can't find jobs. I mean, not even sales guys for recruiters who can't find jobs. Isn't that kind of the definition? I mean, if you can't find yourself a job if you're looking and you're a recruiter, isn't that kind of a problem?
It's a problem, but it's not necessarily an oddity. I mean, we've done resumes for recruiters and coached them into offers. It's people don't understand that while the vehicles may change, the content never will. Okay, so back to the issue of, you know, resumes being holograms someday. Well, the resume still needs the content. You know, I mean, it still needs to say something, and you still need to inventory, you still need to package, you know, you still need to deliver. It's never going
to
change.
I don't
understand recruiters that can't just go find a job order and fill the damn thing on their own. But I'm a crusty old biased bastard.
Yeah, but that's sales and recruiting. Those are two animals, and not everybody can do both.
That's the cold call people don't want to make.
Yeah, I know.
And you know what? So we're teaching that right now. We teach, you know, the different distribution points, and I've added cold calling into that element. And when I say that, oh boy, the accountants, that are my clients, oh, they just really love that. There's one guy, I got to literally push him into the phone and say, call somebody. You know, people just don't understand the concept. People hate cold calling.
You know, I tell you though, one thing about social media. And just the way the internet is and the different communications that we have, I find myself having to make actual cold call. Oh, is this being on tape? Are we being taped?
Probably.
Well, don't tell anybody I said this. I don't make a whole ton of cold calls anymore. I mean,
well,
I just,
flat out cold, yeah.
That's, you know what I mean? Like, hey, my name's such and such. And luckily, I don't know whether it's just through luck of being in with the right client base and that kind of thing, but I just don't find myself having to do it too much.
Well,
I tell all my recruiters they better. 50 a day.
Well, yeah. You have,
get on the phone.
You have created for yourself an account base and a name that most likely gets kind of sent around, kind of like my mom. I mean, there's only so much advertising we have to do because her name's been out there so much. The momentum has essentially been created. You know,
yeah.
So is that not the same with you?
Like the stuff I'm working on today one of the places is a guy that I placed some people with maybe 15 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
I was surprised when he called me. I'm like, you're not dead? Cool. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So.
Well, but you've created that momentum. I mean, you have your. Your place, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I actually think the
assume...
biggest problem with cold calling, I mean, we all know it's a high-stress, low-value return, but the training you get on a call and from early on makes you better on the warm calls. My concern is these young guys who think that social media replaces all the training they take. I mean, phone work is hard. You only get there by making a lot of phone calls. I mean, if you can do 15 a day and make money, it's because you've done tens of thousands in the decade before that. And I think a lot of times we trick ourselves. It's like clicking apply online when you're job searching. You're not. People who can do that without making a lot of phone calls have already done their work in the past. That's
yeah.
Oh, and I, social media.
I do make cold calls, just, you know, they're pretty well researched, you know, and I know enough about what's going on, you know, with whoever I'm calling that I can, I'm not just Mary from the agency wondering if they have any job orders, you know, kind of thing. Or
sure.
Sam from the agency. I didn't mean Mary as in, you know what I'm saying.
No,
sure.
You're going all animal. You pick the woman so you don't sound sexist and patriarchal.
Maybe I picked that up from him earlier in his reply on Lori Rudiman's post where he's talking about she does, yeah, animals.
He does that a lot.
It's almost, why does he do that? Let's have a show on that. Why does animal use female, is that a pronoun?
Yeah, he must have learned it in the university.
Yeah. Hey, Jim, what are your scores real quick on the show today?
I came in so late, it's not really fair to even say it, but what I heard was, it wasn't as interesting in terms of combat, but it was really informative. I'd give 90s for both Animal and the guys. But
then they appreciate your scores today. Cool. Anybody else have anything to add or any topics that we haven't covered? It is Wednesday afternoon. It's open mic night on the after show. Anybody? Anything?
Just real quick, I'm going to get going. I think the mixture, I think what I learn is, and what I teach is it's a mixture of tradition and technology. I mean, you can't drop one for the other. And, you know, if you want to maintain any presence and gain any momentum out there, you really do have to remember that there is a telephone. You know, people hire people. That's the way I see it.
That was one gorgeous statement.
Hey now. I hope this
Hey happens. Now. Okay,
have
everybody.
A good one, guys. See ya.
If anybody needs me, call me.
Have a good one.
Bye, everybody.
Bye-bye.
He knew what he was in for, and sorry if you don't like the results. We're all big boys here. Big boys, big girls. We're all adults. Yeah, if you're going to get, you know, hurt feelings over something of any kind of constructive criticism, don't ask a person for their opinion. You don't want the truth? Don't ask. It's as simple as that. We don't like what we hear, but sometimes we need to hear it.
Oh, April showers, may come your way. They bring the flowers that bloom in May. So if it's raining, have no regret, because it isn't raining, rain you know. It's raining violets. And where you see clouds, where you see clouds on the hill, look, look, they're not clouds, no, no, they're clouds of daffodils. So keep on looking for a bluebird and listening for its song. Whenever April in a shower.